what I'm going to talk about tonight is experiencing God changed and unchained. And I got this by revelation weeks and weeks ago. It was I was actually in a ministry situation and I was ministering to someone, and I just heard the Spirit say, not in a big dramatic way, but sometimes if you're engaged with something, and sometimes I describe it as when you're looking across like a lovely garden scene in the middle of summer, and as you're just looking there, there's a dandelion seed that just sort of floats across your, you weren't thinking about it, it just came across the track of your mind, of your spirit, and the phrase was experiencing God changed and unchained. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. I have a personal passion and a long journey on the whole subject of freedom, which is for another time. A lot of things that I'm going to mention and verses that I'm going to share tonight are going to be very familiar and well known to you, possibly even bordering on the simple. But I hope and trust and pray that you'll be able to connect with what I want to articulate. I want to impart something to you, not to the mind of your soul, but to the mind of your spirit. Connect spirit to spirit. And I want you to tune yourselves to hear what the Spirit wants to say to you tonight. Spirit to spirit. And a destination tonight that will leave us changed and unchained. So the first thing I want to say is that our legal state regarding freedom is that we are unchained. We are unchained. Christ has secured our liberty. We are legally and effectually free. Galatians 5 verse 1, different versions, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Or to live a life free, or completely liberating us. And then it goes on, stand firm, or take your stand, or keep standing firm, and do not let yourselves be burdened again, or never again, or do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Do not be burdened again to a harness of slavery. That's the legal position. We are free from the predisposition an attraction of sin. In Ephesians 2, 1 to 2, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now in the Greek, now at work is actually the word energio, from which we get the word energy. So actually, when the spirit of the world, the evil one, actually energized us in our sinful state to actually be enthusiastic about the possibility of being sinful, of being attracted to that, we were actually predisposed to do that. We are free from sin's hopelessness. Romans 6:17 says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. And that word slave is doulos. And doulos in the Greek is like the lowest possible level of slave. Ain't no chance that you're ever going to buy your freedom, get out of that. You're at the mercy of your master, which was the evil one. And that's what we have been freed from. However, we can struggle embracing the word of truth and its full impact on our lives. We have not let its blade cut and separate our soul from our spirit. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If separated, we can fully connect to the sword of the Spirit, the living word that brings life. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that brings life. the flesh profits nothing. And so that allows us to receive and apply the truth of the freedom Christ has secured for us, spirit to spirit. But if not, then the desires and appetites of our soul dominate for us to remain the way we were. So the way we were was predisposed to sin. The way we were was energized, actually, to sin, to be slaves to that and not be able to embrace the truth that freedom has been secured for us by Christ Jesus. So we are encouraged to be disobedient by the evil one, but the legal fact is that we have been set free. And so we've got this internal power struggle frequently expressed by the false notion that we have to fight for our freedom. We have to secure our freedom. We have to struggle. It's a battle for our freedom. Or we're beseeching God, set us free, when the job has already been done. Now, I'm sure many of you have been in this situation. Have you ever walked into, my experience would be a shop or some other potentially embarrassing situation where everybody's about to see what you've done and there's absolutely no chance you're going to be able to get away with it. And as you walk up to the door and you go to pull on the door and the door's locked and you're pulling and somebody inside catches your eye and you go, you can't get in. And they go, you go, and you push the door and you walk in and you try to get away with it, but there's just no chance you're going to get away with it. And you just pretend that I wasn't embarrassed at all at that situation. But there's an element in this spiritual truth that we're trying to pull. We're trying to, like, I've got to get my freedom. Paint our faces blue. You've got freedom. Pull that door. But we've got the wrong way around. We need to push. Because it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So the issue of us being chained is not legal. Because we have been unchained by what Christ has done. It is open. And we need to settle this issue. We need to get peace of the spirit rather than the pain of the soul. Romans 8 verse 6 says, the mind governed by the flesh, that's the soul and the body, is death. But the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Austin T. Sparks, this guy in Texas that has, now that he's dead, he releases all his material to the world. You can get it. Some of it's quite deep, but he says some profound things. One of the profound things he said is, only that which proceeds from our spirit by operation of the Holy Spirit affects any spiritual end. It's spiritual. It's not about our soul. It's spiritual. And we need to find rest in this issue. Christ said to us in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of us, in all honesty, are going, oh, I don't know about that. I find that a struggle. I'm not getting the easy yoke and the light burden of Christ's offer to us. I have a grandson, 19 months old. His name's Noah. I call him Noah. Right? These two, Morris and May, have just become grandparents this week. And so congratulations. Absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So we are, last week we go to Delamont and he's walking about and he decides that he's not going to wear his hat. So I think, well, what about if I put on, give him my hat, maybe he'll wear my hat. Right? So put it on and it's over his face and he can't really see where he's going. He's not walking too well. He's just sort of getting the hang of it. So we turn the hat round and he can see. And it seemed like the next 10 minutes he goes, Papa's hat. Papa's hat. And it's just like the most amazing thing for him. And of course, as the papa, I'm just complete mush going, that is just the coolest thing. And why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because what I want to share with you, and I am not sharing this in any flippant way, I believe this is of the Spirit. The word Noah means rest. And Noah has a prophetic word for you. Because when he took that hat off before he put on his papa's hat, he's about to enter in his terrible twos. Apparently everybody does it, except for those that have young children. They don't realize at that point it's actually terrible twos, dot, 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 as opposed to when they get to their third birthday. Whoa, that was, what a year that was. No, sorry. So anyway, he hasn't quite got there, right? But he is the coolest. He doesn't throw tantrums yet, right? But he does this thing. He doesn't want something. He goes, no. No, no. No. It's like, you're looking at Samuel L. Jackson there. It's just like, if it's food, do you want some more ham? No. No, no. Completely straight face. Sometimes you don't know how to read him. Reminds me of somebody. But he just goes, no. So what the Spirit wants to say to you tonight about the issue of unchained is, if you think you're chained, what you've got to get and connect spirit to spirit is no. No, no. We don't have to fight. We don't have to, as far as the legal position of us being unchained because of what Jesus Christ did, we can go no. No, no, no. And as we do that, we will experience the rest that we're entitled to because of that truth as we receive it into ourselves. So what we have to do, if we think we're in a prison, is to push that unlocked prison door and walk out. Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, and He's done the job. The job is done and dusted, and it's over. He unlocked the door by a sacrifice once and for all. Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many." We have been legally unchained. Jesus was sent for, bled for, and paid for our freedom. It is done and it is dusted. And anything in you that says that's not true, you've got to connect with your spirit going, no. No, no. I am free, for it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And we must embrace the negative reality and the false positive reality of our condition. And the negative reality is this, that we are legally free, but we have not attained and accessed the freedom on offer. We are still on the journey from John 10:10a to John 10:10b, where the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but Christ has come to give us life in all its fullness. And the false positive reality. So what's a false positive reality? Well, false positive reality is that it's false, but you're trying to say that it's positive. So you're trying to put a spin on something that actually, it's not good. So emoji, you're going like this here, but actually inside you're going like this here. It's not, it's a false positive reality. Or things are not too bad. So this year, I don't know why, I've just tried not to do that. And I've been phoning a guy, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, about a sale of a house. And when you say, well, how's it going? He goes, not too bad. So I'm trying not to say that. I'm trying to say, it's good. I'm trying not to go, it's not too bad. But sometimes I, just because we seem to be wired that way, predisposed that way, we go, not too bad, when people ask us how we're doing. We have this religious, cultural acceptance of the disconnect between what we read and what we know, the knowledge that we have of what the Bible says relative to our experience of our relationship with God. That just doesn't fit. And the sad thing is that we actually go, you know what? That's all right. It's not too bad. And the world outside is looking in and they're going, guys, you're irrelevant because you're talking about all these amazing promises of God, all these things that He's done in your life and how He's set you free. And we're looking at people that are pretty bound up and don't seem to be too free to me. And I think you're irrelevant. And I think you lack authenticity. And I think you lack integrity. And they see it a mile off and they don't want to come near us because we're missing it. Yes, things are too bad. They're too bad. We're living in John 10:10a, where the evil one has stolen and killed and destroyed the promises that we have access to, that we're not stepping into because we're in this battle. So beneath our plastic mask, we're going, I want the promises. I want to access the things that it says in the Bible. But I'm so frustrated at doing this. I don't seem to be able to make it happen. It doesn't seem to be working out for me. And then I'm riddled with guilt, or I feel like a hypocrite, or I feel disqualified or unqualified because of what I've done in my life. And it's just not working, and it's just not good, and it's too bad. And it's, oh God, oh God, oh God. And if you're going, you're tapping into something there. Let a bit of desperation arise here. You okay?
Not too bad.
He's right there. The South African has been enculturated to Northern Irish culture. We don't want it to be not too bad. We want it to be life in all its fullness. And we want to be free. We just got to say no, got to push that door and walk out. We've got to learn and receive the Lord's rest and learn and let your spirit say no. Because we are in a battle of the mind that does require effort, not earning, application, perseverance. But we must embrace the negative reality that we have been trying to access freedom in the mind of our soul rather than in the mind of our spirit. In the mind of our soul rather than the mind of our spirit. The freedom we have legal right and access to is spiritual in nature. It's spiritual. If we try to access it any other way, it won't come. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. It's spiritual in nature. Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the essence of liberty. It is Him. And it's not a thing that can be attained by any action of the soul or a material thing that we might get to do or possess. It cannot be accessed by the soul or the body because it's spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that have come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit." So accessing spiritual freedom through the mind of our soul or actions of our body cannot be done. It's not a soul thing. It's not a body thing. It's a spirit thing. Push through. Just push through the open door. The legal access we have to freedom. It is in the experience of the Spirit of God that we are changed. 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18. Very familiar. I've already said it once. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Experience the Holy Spirit is an encounter with and in freedom. We do so with unveiled, self-disclosing transparency. And as a result, we begin to reflect His glory. And it's a process of transformation. Present, continuous tense. So it says in that passage that we're being transformed. It's not a one-off. We keep at it. We keep at it. We keep presenting ourselves. We keep lifting the veil. And as we do that, we become more and more like Him. We start to access more and more the abundance of the life that He offers us. And we become more and more like Him. So our thoughts go, well, is He good? Is he faithful? Will he really set me free? How do you deal with that? Well, I'll tell you how you don't deal with it. An application of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the body, it just won't cut it. Trying to work it out, trying to understand how I can get rid of these thoughts in the soul of my mind won't work it out. Trying to work out some emotion and expression that will make me feel as though I'm going to be all right and God is faithful, if it's from the soul, it will not do it. Trying to just make it happen and just hang in there and use your will, it just will not happen because it's a spiritual thing. Although these spiritual things can be expressed in our mind and in our will and in our emotions. But trying to do it just won't do it. Going to church, just doing something, reading your Bible, praying, just doing that as a thing is not going to cut it, is not going to help you get through. You can only do it when you know Him and you lift the veil. You experience Him in that encounter and that engaging with Him, and as you do it, then you get to know Him and who He is, and that He will, that He is good, that He is faithful, that He has, is, and will set me free. It says in the Bible, in the Hebrew, it's the word yada. In the Greek, it's gnosko, for the word know. Not head knowledge, but knowing. As in, an Adam lay with Eve. Intimacy, oneness, that's the knowledge that we have to have. Relational, oneness knowledge with Him. And as we have that and access, then everything falls into place because it's spirit to spirit. And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, to be sure, you're going to be free. That's what it says in the Thesaurus. It'll say it twice, but it does say, to be sure, indeed. But the other play on words is indeed, in action. So we can not only be free, but we can be free in action because we have connected to Him. So on your seats there, you're going to see there's a little card, and it's called the 4-Step Freedom Plan. Okay? And it's a spiritual security system. And if you've ever been had the misfortune of being burgled, we were burgled once. Actually, ironically, it was the first time that Dennis ever came here, and we were burgled 2 days later. And it's not a good experience. And we then got a burglar alarm in the house. And what the guy said was, there's so many people that don't have a burglar alarm that simply having a burglar alarm and switching it all on almost guarantees that you're going to have protection to your house. Because as they're driving around, they're going, well, there's a couple there if they're going to burgle houses. So a burglar alarm, just switching it on, protects your house in this culture that we're in. Maybe other cultures of the world, it doesn't work quite the same. But having a burglar alarm and switching it on protects your home and protects your home very effectively. We switch on a burglar alarm. We got to have whatever doors are supposed to be closed, or whatever doors are supposed to be left open. You have to set things, otherwise it won't set or it'll go off. And if it's breached, then obviously the alarms go off or whatever. So as I'm going to share about this 4-step freedom plan, I would ask you to let the Spirit just let some alarms go off in your head going, I'm not approaching that the right way. I have a breach here. I have a door. I'm trying to set a burglar alarm and I've got a door here that's just wide open. Even though the alarm's on, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can just come in and steal my stuff. This is not a technique. This is not a formula. This is not a fix-it. Okay? But it is to be applied spirit to spirit, not in your mind, your will and your emotions, although they will be exercised in a planet. And it's not about understanding, it's not about making it happen, it's not about feeling it, it's about spirit to spirit. It's about a spiritual medication that I guarantee if you take it and take it as a spiritual medication, you will profoundly maintain your spiritual health and your spiritual walk. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Spiritually, your mind transformed. Transformed onto what? Transformed into 2 Corinthians 3:18. Transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Changed and unchained. So the first is seek the truth. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the know is the gnosko know, the oneness know, the spirit knowing intimately. I know this. Not just the head knowledge thing. So it says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now we know that, or many of us should know that. It's in the Bible. But we don't know it. And because we don't know it, we're trying to work something out and we're trying to poo, because I don't know whether God is faithful. Well, spirit to spirit, he is faithful. So we work from that. If things aren't working out, if things are difficult, if you're not sure what's happening, God is faithful. That's His word. That's that attribute of who He is. And He cannot disown Himself. So we know that. We seek the truth. We apply that spirit to spirit. We've got a bit of solid ground. And that leads me to the second point, that we need to take action on the truth. Matthew 7:24. Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. It's not about the rock of Jesus Christ. It's about the rock of obedience to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Obedience to what he said. So if he says, do not worry, and you're worried, there's a disconnect there. There's something not fitting there. Now, he says, don't worry. He says he's faithful. I gotta seek the truth. I gotta be obedient to what he says to find out how I can be free from the alarm that's going off in my head. Because worry's coming and giving me a hard time and pushing me back into John 10:10a, where I don't want to be. Because the promise is that I have abundant life with Jesus Christ and I can have life in all its fullness. There's a disconnect. There's something wrong. There's something not working. Learn to secure your mind from Satan. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is praiseworthy or excellent, think on these things. Don't be thinking on the worry things. Be thinking on the God things, the pure things, the right things, the noble things, the excellent things. Don't be spirit to spirit letting your... that's the soul. And it weighs you down and it stops you having freedom. 4, learn to listen only to the voice of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it captive to Jesus Christ. There are TV programs and channels that we get, and if it's anything to do with religion, if it's anything to do with God, you can absolutely guarantee it's going to be anti-Christian. Absolutely guaranteed, just simply by the fact that it's going to be on that channel. Because their culture, their worldview is that it's not for today. It's the official term, Mark, The official term is modern Gnosticism, which basically goes like this. Listen, you know that stuff 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, all those biblical writings and things like that there? That was 3,000 years ago. It's the 21st century. We've got Facebook and lots of things, and, you know, things have changed. You know, the Word of God, like, if you think that's truth, we don't actually think that's truth. And there's a "we know better than you," which sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we've got to have nothing to do with it. We've got to go, no. 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 We don't have to get on. We just can go, no, because we're legally free. So, Midsummer 99. In 3 weeks, from day one, never even thinking, never crossed our mind, the day 21, we had put our house up on the market. We had found a house, agreed a house, and moved down to Ballinahinch from North Belfast. And we had also a pre-booked holiday in Donegal for 2 weeks in that period of time. So we actually did it in about 6 days. Just, we were there, right? Didn't actually physically get there in 21 days, but the deed and everything was done within a 3 week period. Right? It was the call of God. We obeyed, we went after it, and it was glorious. We now, in AMI Ireland, in the last number of years, although it was never our intention when we started, had a sense to plant a church, destination church up on Newton Abbey. We're just starting with small groups. We're living down in Ballinahinch. It's a 66-mile round trip to a small group, and we have a sense that we should be in the community that we're going to plant a church. So we put our house up for sale. We're now into the 60th week. Are you sure? No. Security system's on. No. So on week 57, somebody agreed to buy our house. On week 60, they changed their mind. People are going, oh. Well, and a very close family member said, who's not currently a Christian or walking with the Lord, said, well, surely if, you know, if Andrew's supposed to be going there and planting a church and God's with him and all the rest, surely God would, like, let him, like, sell his house and go there. Surely. That's a, for my soul, I have an opportunity. Well, should I engage with that? Should I ask the question? Have I got it wrong? Is God, like messing me about? No. I'm not engaged in that. I'm not having anything to do with that. I'm not going to entertain the possibility. Now, I am seeking the Lord as to, well, we need to be open to the fact that we've missed something, and we're constantly just keeping our ears and our eyes open to see, is there something that's not working? But He's in control. And He is the God that says, like, I worked it out one time that in God's timing, if God was human, 80 years, which is the span of a life, works out about 8 seconds. When you do the 1,000 years, it's like a watch of the night and all the rest of it. So His timing is perfect. That's the spirit-to-spirit connection I have. And anything that says that's not perfect, I'm going, no. I'm not trying to hype myself up. I'm not going to go, you know, we've got to keep believing and keep praying. We do keep believing and we do keep praying. But I'm just going, no. And my security system is sound. I'm not freaking out. I'm not being waking up in the middle of the night with cold sweats because I'm worried about what's going to happen. We do have the good fortune that we do not have pressure on the house that we're in. And I know that for some people that's not the case. But 3 weeks that way and 60 weeks this way, there's a bit of a difference. And the possibility of getting freaked out about that, worried about that, anxious about that, is always outside. If I let my soul get hold, if I let my soul dominate, if I let my mind start to think, rather than to lay hold of the promises, spirit to spirit, of what God has promised us, called us to, and we're going to hold the line, we're going to trust Him, and any of the lies of the enemy that come our way, our old soulish desires or appetites, we're just going to go, no, no. And my testimony is, I have rest and I have peace. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Somebody said that if you keep your thoughts captive, they won't keep you captive. Which I think is a pretty profound statement. And I know from just doing life and life in ministry that many of us, just because it's a large percentage of the body of Christ, can't actually put their hand on their heart and go, well, actually, I'm not having my thoughts keep me captive. But if we don't keep our thoughts captive, they're going to keep you captive. So learn to say no. And what's this all on to? And this, with this, I will close. What are the evidence and the fruitfulness and the consequences of experiencing God and being changed and unchained? We are being transformed to more and more of Christ's likeness. 2 Corinthians 3:17. It's a process of transformation. Being transformed. As we are, we become carriers and bringers of His kingdom. Carriers of His presence, because we become more like Him. And bringers of His kingdom. We are anointed as Christ was anointed. We are free indeed. We are free in truth and in action. It's this amazing record in Luke 4 where Jesus is in the synagogue and he unrolls the word and he reads from Isaiah 61 and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for He has anointed me to proclaim freedom." He has anointed me. The Spirit has anointed him spiritually to proclaim freedom, to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom to the captives, restoration of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. And then he rolls it up and he goes, "In your hearing, these words have been fulfilled." Wow. But then at the end of John, he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual dynamic. And if we can connect to that, if we can lift the veil, present ourselves to Him, we are changed and transformed in as spiritual beings. We tell the soul man to shut up. No. Spirit to spirit. And then what happens? What would happen if the body of Christ actually was not irrelevant? Wow, these guys really believe it. These guys, like, they don't have it all together. And they're very honest about the struggles they have, but they've got something. They've got a connection. They've got something. There's something about them. What is that? And then they minister to us, and I can feel something. I don't know what that is. We're spiritual. We've got to connect with the Spirit of God if we're going to do any of the work that He requires us to do on this earth. Jesus Christ Himself was anointed by the Spirit to do His ministry. We need to be anointed by the Spirit to do ministry. So we are unchained and legally free. We need to say no. No. I don't have to be praying. No. Receive His rest. Receive His peace. We need to get a holy dissatisfaction, can't even say it, about being things not being too bad. It's all right. Could be better. I think I'm getting a bit better than I was last month. But there's all this feast, these scraps that we've been lifting off the floor when we're called to a feast of His abundance. That's what He's calling us to. Let a bit of holy irritation be rising up in us. Holy desperation for more of what God's promising us to. And the freedom is spiritual in nature. Because the Holy Spirit, in essence, is Spirit. And if we want that freedom, we must experience, engage, and encounter the Holy Spirit. As we do, we become changed into His carriers and His bringers. Will you stand with me? I really want to encourage you to have a desire for more tonight. I really want to encourage you to not to settle for things being all right or not too bad. I really want to stir in you a faith and a desire to experience more of Him that will change you, that will let you step into the freedom that He has. And what we're going to do is we're going to worship for a while. But in order to engage with Him, what we do is we serve, or encourage you to come and receive whatever the Holy Spirit's serving tonight. And in order to do that, I often ask a few questions. So I've got three questions for you. And if you could say yes to one or any of these, I'd encourage you to come forward. And we're going to worship for a while. The first question is, are you hungry for a deeper revelation of your freedom through Christ? Do you long for a greater peace and rest in your daily walk? And three, would you like a fresh experience, encounter and engagement with the Holy Spirit of freedom and liberty? If you can say yes to one or any of those questions, please just come forward, join me here. We're going to worship for a while, and then we're going to minister.